Happy Monday, beautiful people. Thank you for tuning in to Conversations with Friends. It's 11:56 on my phone, which is the energy of 11:11. I'm so happy to be tuning back in with you all. This is Conversations with Friends, episode 9, coming back to back, 9 weeks straight here, loving the new show. The energy, the friends, you know, I have to admit that I miss Align with Plants and just sitting around talking about plants all day long on the show. I don't know if I'd say I miss it, but that was a really good time. But I am absolutely loving bringing my friends and their love and their energy and their work and knowledge to you all. This has been a really dope show. Thank you for coming back again. Next week, episode 10, we will have a sister on the show. We're going to be talking writing and creativity. This woman helped me get my first book out, so really excited to bring her on. Today's guest is coming. We're connecting from, we're both in the South now. We're connecting. My friend is in Louisiana, and we both left the Pacific Northwest around the same time, escaping the dreary, cold, long, dark fall, winter, spring season for the sun. I met my friend on the show today while working at Essential Juices and Smoothies, our juice pod up in Oregon. And pretty much as soon as I met her and connected with her and with her partner, there was just an instant connection. She's a plant friend, a healer, a lover, an extremely intelligent woman and community server of her community. And I'm just so excited to bring her energy and her work on today's show. Haley is on the show today. Haley, are you? Well, I already heard you. So welcome, love.
Hi, Lenita. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, man. So thankful and really happy that I'm talking to you while you're in Louisiana, while you're down in the South. You were one of the people in my sphere in Portland that I could tell was as significantly affected by the weather as I was. So I'm so happy that you got out.
Thank you. I'm happy for you, too.
Man, like, that sunshine, it's just...
goes a long way.
Love, like, how real is it?
Yeah, my body is much happier, and my mental health as well, just getting some warmth and sunshine, kind of stoking that yang fire a little bit. It's been real, so I'm really grateful we found the way to make that decision and that transition happen.
Man, you know, it's amazing because it used to happen for me on the solstice, on the summer solstice, I would start to just get a little sad. And I'm not a sad person. Like, I'm a pretty happy person, but it would just be this like dark cloud kind of come over, and it sucked because it's in the middle of summer. But by the end of August, you just know what's coming. And I wonder if you felt this too this year. This August, though, this August, I knew what was coming, and I knew it was... for us in the desert especially, we're now being released from our homes and back out into the world because the temperatures are finally cooling. Like, I knew that I wasn't going into 40 degrees and rain and no blue skies. And I'm telling you, I have just been living this fall up.
Yes.
Did you have that same, like, seasonal realization, like, as the seasons were shifting, did you like feel it in your body? Like, oh my gosh, I'm free.
You know, I totally did. And for me, it happened, I think you might be right, in Oregon, I think it was happening a little bit earlier. But for me this year, because we launched our business on the equinox and I had just been so busy and focused up to that point, when the 21st rolled around and I realized, oh, we're entering into fall now. And I didn't have this heaviness just weighing in my heart and this dread of, oh, it's time to die now. It's time to to just curl up inside. There's no support left. I didn't feel like my blanket was being ripped away from me, you know? I still had that nice warm humidity sunshine hug around my shoulders, and I just kind of stood up and smiled, and I was like, all right, no, we're good. We've got this. So, yeah, it was nice.
You got a snort laugh out of me. I haven't snort laughed on the show at all. And I've had some serious laughs, but you just got that out of me because, like, it wasn't time to die.
You know, that sounds dramatic, but it got
but
to that
so
point
true.
For me. Yeah, it just, 8 years was too long for me. I'm super grateful for everything that Portland had to offer, and I needed to be there, but I know I overstayed my welcome a few years too long, so it just got a little rough at the end there.
Man, well, and I'm happy that you put that in there, too, because Oregon and Portland, especially the city of Portland, has so much to offer to a human living there, especially a transplant. And you know, I'm really happy that for the rest of, you know, knowing you, the rest of our time together, that we did meet and bond in Portland and in that part of the world, because for me, all of my bonds everywhere are special, but the bonds there are really deep and special because I know that the plants themselves had a lot to do with the people that I met there. You know, my personal bond and relationship with trees and plants all around that city, and all around that area, but especially the city plants, they really take the relationships of their city, of the place that they live, serious. And they're very committed to nourishing and maturing and growing their community. And they feel a responsibility to the humans in their city. So I could sense that they were bringing me and bringing me to and bringing people to me, the most important ones that I was supposed to meet there, and knowing that I wasn't going to be there forever. So I'm super thankful that that you are part of that sphere and that we've connected and that we continue to grow. And thankful for social media, right? Like that we can be in each other's lives
totally.
In kind of a distant but close way. It's so amazing.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So I like to start, and you have a pretty interesting history. From what I know, I know bits and pieces of it, and it's pretty cool how you come to plants and how you got into plant work and plant medicine. But I'd love to start every show out with just a little bit of background information. You can go as far back as you'd like or stay as recent. You have a lot of stuff going on currently, too. But maybe just tell the people a little bit about Haley, a little bit about you, a little bit about how you've gotten to being in Louisiana, in the Bayou, you know, in September of 2018, working with plants, and we're getting ready to talk about this new business that you just mentioned. But tell us a little bit about you, about yourself.
Okay, well, stop me if I get rambly. I'm new to this.
This is a show all about rambly.
Okay, great.
We ramble
well,
here.
I can do excellent. I guess I should say, first off, I practice classical Chinese medicine, meaning Chinese herbal medicine of a particular lineage that dates back to Han Dynasty classics, that these source texts, the Shanghemun and the Jingui. And these are kind of our master texts that we pull all of our body of knowledge from. And of course, things sort of evolve and, you know, unfurl as time goes on to adapt to a modern society. But everything is rooted in these texts. And that's a very important thing to me and the way that I've been taught to practice this medicine. And I also practice classical acupuncture that is all rooted in the Nei Jing, which is a similar type text from an acupuncture perspective. And so what I have, I'm kind of one of those really lucky weirdos that found their calling really early on in life. When I was 15, my grandmother, who was a huge maternal influence on me as a child, she was diagnosed with cancer, and she, initially kind of kept it to herself and was really resistant to sharing it with the family and doing much in the way of treatment, that kind of thing. And ultimately, she made the decision with the help of some family members to go the conventional route. There weren't really any conversations of other options at the time, and I was kind of left out of it for whatever reason, to kind of protect me from that because of my age, I guess. But she was kind of going through this process, and I was privy to a little bit of it in the beginning there. And once she started conventional treatment, things kind of went downhill for her pretty quickly, and I watched her get, and, you know, fast forward a few months or however long, time gets a little distorted at this point, but I remember very clearly I was lying in bed with her one night, pretty close to when she passed, and I was just looking through old photo albums, and she was kind of telling me who, like, some of her family members were that I'd never met, and pointing people out to me, and we were just kind of snuggling and hanging out, doing our thing. And she was a little bit out of it, like, she's a little loopy, and she didn't have, you know, you can just tell when someone's, we call it shen in Chinese medicine, their, like, spirit, their consciousness, that, like, light in their eyes. You can just tell when it's not really there at its fullest. And she was in that state. And she had this just moment of, I don't know what else to describe it as other than just intense clarity. And she kind of sat up a little straighter, and she looked straight at me, and that shen was right there in her eyes. And she just said, "Haley, you know, not addressing this cancer was not the right decision, but doing it the way that I did was also not the right decision for me. And there has to be a different way." And that's it. She just said that. And I just kind of squeezed her hand, and I said, "Okay, you know," and I said, "I love you," you know, like, there's nothing else for me to say at that point. We all know what's happening. And, after she passed, you know, that moment, it sticks with me so vividly to this day. And I don't even know if I've really shared it that much with my family, because it was just me and her there, but it's a huge pivotal point for me. And I, at that point in my life, had always kind of known that I wanted to be a caretaker. I wanted to be in some type of a healing profession. I didn't know exactly what that looked like, but as far back as I can remember, I've always known that. And I kind of went down through my own little downward spiral after my granny passed, and really ended up in a very dark place very early on in my life, and really was struggling with anxiety and depression and insomnia, and things kind of went from bad to worse as the next year went on. And at some point, you know, my family was grieving. It was, you know, everyone was doing their thing, and I didn't really know how to ask for the help that I needed, and I don't know that anyone really knew how to give me what I needed, because they didn't know what I needed. Yeah. And so at some point, high school goes on, and I was taking these dual enrollment college classes with, they were like, I think, healthcare terminology or something like that. And my teacher in one of these classes was a very young, I think she was just in her 30s, she was a retired podiatrist. She had given up Western medicine pretty soon after she finished her medical training, and she decided to teach health to high school students because she had gone through her own tough stuff in medical school and kind of mental health struggles and things that I could really relate to. And I would stay after class and I would chat with her, and she was just like on this like mission of love and empowerment to like give young people a different perspective. And she had found healing for herself through acupuncture and Chinese medicine. And so she was all about talking about plant medicine and alternative medicine. And I think most of the students in the class were just like, "What is this woman talking about?"
Yeah.
And I was just like enamored with it. I loved her, and I just wanted to soak up everything she had to say. And I would stay after class, and she became a major influence and mentor to me. And eventually, like, she met my mom, and my mom was like, "Yeah, take her with you to acupuncture." So she started taking me with her every Saturday to the student clinic in Orlando that did acupuncture treatments, kind of low-cost student clinic acupuncture stuff. And through that process, I was able to get off of, like, the anti-anxiety medications and the antidepressants and the things that had been given to me. And it really just, it was incredible. I mean, it was a process, you know, it took months, but I was in this place where I felt supported and whole. And I was like, oh my God, Granny, like this is the other thing. There is another thing, you know? Mm. And I feel like I've been really blessed in my life to find those threads. And, you know, I know that my grandma is up there just kind of poking at me when I get a little off course and wander off into the left. But, that is kind of how I came to this. And so through that process, I decided, okay, well, this is what I'm doing with my life. Here we go. Let's jump. And, I decided to try to find, I was 16. I decided to try to find a Chinese medicine doctor to intern with, you know, in my free time and just kind of see what it was all about. And the place that we had been going was about an hour away, and you know, I couldn't really drive that far at that point in time and blah blah blah. So I was trying to find something closer, and this was like 2002 2003, and there just wasn't a lot in the area in Central Florida where I was at. So I ended up going to a place that was a little bit just in a different direction. It was still about 45 minutes away, but it was easier to drive to. And I kind of interviewed with a couple of doctors over there and was turned down because they were like, well, I was turned down by two different doctors that said, you know, we have a lot of male patients and it would be inappropriate to have a female intern. And I was like, wow. Well, that's weird. Thanks. But whatever.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So I, you know, kept going. I went into, this crazy, just Chinese medicine compound looking building. I mean, it was traditional architecture. It was nestled in this little orange grove on North Courtney Parkway in like North Rhode Island, which is the middle of nowhere, Florida, and like out by the Space Center, basically. And, I walked in and I was just like humbled to just be there. And the energy of this place was amazing. And I walked in and I introduced myself and, you know, all of my 16-year-old glory, and was like, can I follow you around and learn things, basically. And the doctor, Dr. Hai Shani, he was a Taiwanese doctor who had been practicing in Florida, and he built that building. He like had this crazy huge following. He just had this immense reputation that I obviously had no idea about at that point.
Yeah.
But he saw something in me, and I still to this day have no idea why, but he said, yes, please stay. Learn as much as you can. Come as often as possible. And so I did. I pretty much lived there and for as long as I could. And he, at some point, I had like a part-time job at a dollar store that was pretty terrible. And at some point after I graduated high school, he was like, hey, why are you working there? Come work for me in my herbal pharmacy.
Nice.
And I was like, what? Can I do the thing that needs to be done in the pharmacy? I don't think I know enough to do that. And he said, no, you'll figure it out. This is what we're doing now. And so he gave me my first real job. And, you know, I spent my time when I wasn't working in the pharmacy putting orders together for patients, just shadowing him in the treatment room and kind of filling this role as a little bit of a liaison between him and a lot of women that would come into his practice. And I came to understand that he had a very cancer-heavy practice. Mm. And he's one of the few practitioners in the United States that actually will even address cancer, because it's a very high liability thing, and it's also a very difficult thing. There's a lot around it that makes it really challenging to hold space for it as a practitioner. But he did that. That was his livelihood, and he worked with patients that opted out of chemo and radiation and surgery. He worked with patients that wanted to combine both modalities. He were, you know, whatever you wanted to do, he worked with you on that, and he did it in a way that was so different than anything else that I'd ever seen, and he was getting incredible results. Mm. And that to me was just this like, all right, again, like here I am. I feel like my grandma just guided me here. Like those other guys that said no, we're not doing this kind of work. And so yeah, I followed him around. I went through college. I stayed close to home so that I could continue to intern with him, and went through college in Orlando and ultimately got my master's at Florida College of Integrative Medicine. And, yeah, I don't know. You know, I traveled to China with Dr. Nee for a couple of months in 2007 and 2008 and really got a big cultural immersion there that helped me kind of understand the medicine from a very traditional perspective and kind of how it came to be and the kind of collective thinking that really supports the theories that we base everything that we do on. Mm. And I feel like that was really helpful for me to take that and learn to kind of package it in a way that can be received comfortably in the Western world. Mm. And, you know, for me, that was something that was not really being done very effectively, even by him at the time, because, like I mentioned before, he had a lot of patients that were coming in for breast cancer or ovarian cancer, you know, just kind of women's reproductive things that are very heavy, very scary, very real. And what do I want to say? He was a very, follow my instructions. This is how we get results. Do not deviate. This is, you know, just a very matter of fact. Like, I'm not, mm-hmm. I don't have a whole lot of time for your emotional happiness right now. I'm going to help you survive. Yeah. And that was kind of where he came from, which I totally understand and respect. But I also saw this situation arising more than once where women would leave the treatment room that I was observing in on, and kind of looking to me for like, or am I okay? Is this okay? You know, like relating to me in a way. And, you know, I would follow them back, kind of walk them back up to the front office so that they could check out. And sometimes they would be in tears because it was just so overwhelming and so many lifestyle changes and ways of thinking. And it's just all these shifts were being kind of, you know, asked of them all at once. And they had a lot of weight to them. Like, do this or else, basically, which isn't how I operate, but it is how he operated, and he got what he was after. Yeah. And it was coming from a place of love, but it was tough love. And, you know, so it would kind of, I sort of took it upon myself while we were walking back to the office, to explain where he was coming from a little bit and the why behind it, and to just sort of package it in a softer, little bit more digestible way, mm-hmm. Which I think I was able to do, one, because I'm a woman and I do have, I'm pretty sensitive. I don't like being spoken to that way either. It's hard for me to digest. My walls go up and, you know, and I'll cry too. It's just how it is. And also because I understand the culture a little bit better. And so that's been kind of my path to where I am now, that those moments were really formative for me in figuring out, like, this is a gap that needs to be filled in order for the beauty and healing power of this medicine to really fully integrate into the United States, but without becoming so watered down that it loses its efficacy, because that is another danger when you go too far in the direction of just making people comfortable and saying whatever they need to hear. There's a balance to be struck. So that's kind of where I live my life, is on that pendulum of, you know, finding that place.
Well, and it sounds like that's exactly what he saw in you, was your potential to bridge the collective thinking. I love that you said that's the foundation of how Chinese medicine has been developed, is based on this collective thinking of the culture and of the people there. And it seems like what he really, I mean, from listening to this and from knowing you, it seems like what he recognized and what he saw in you and what the plants and intuition, you know, preached to him or made him follow through with, is that he saw you as a bridge between the collective thinking of his tradition, you know, because he was just approaching people in the way that where he's from, into the collective thinking of the people here, you know, of your grandmother, of you, of the women you grew up with. Such a beautiful, intentional, just such a beautiful story. I love that. I love your story.
I feel pretty lucky that that's something that I've actually experienced. I say it and it kind of sounds like a fairy tale sometimes, but it really happened.
Well, and you know, I personally, just don't believe in luck, and you were born to do exactly what you do, and you were brought to that, to him and to his practice and to every single thing and every experience you've ever had, because you got big work to do and you do big work. And I'm really, really thankful that that I know you and that you're in my life and that the universe has entrusted me to be in your sphere, and that I get to bring your work to my sphere. Like I'm so honored, and I feel the power. I feel the plant power behind it. You know, like, no, you guys need to know each other.
Yeah, totally. I love that.
Yeah. Well, so you've left Portland and now you're in Louisiana, and you and your partner, a friend of mine as well, actually who I met you through was through your partner, an amazing chef, and you two left the Pacific Northwest for the sunny, humid Southeast, and you're bridging even more. You're developing and creating even more, and you're bridging those to the collective thinking of the East and the West even more. And you guys have just launched, I guess, so on 9/22 was when you launched it, which is super beautiful. The fall equinox, you launched Estuary Herbs, a new Chinese, actually, I'm going to let you define it, a new business that is working with plants and plant medicine. So let's talk a little bit about Estuary Herbs and hear this extremely exciting new project, new venture.
Yeah, awesome.
Which I just love that you and Kelly are doing together and pulling together because Kelly had vegan sushi, had Sushi Love in Portland. If you're from Portland, if you're in Portland, you know Sushi Love, especially if you're in the vegan community. An amazing food pod, amazing menu, recipes, brand. It's my favorite brand in the city. And so to see you two being able to bridge both of your talents, skills, love, passion together and create something together is so dope. So what is going on? What are you guys building?
Well, basically what we're doing is kind of combining our expertise and creating a kind of a accessible food-based and classical Chinese medicine-based system of supporting the body through nutrition. I think I should rewind a little bit to my time in Portland,
yes,
just because it very much informed the way that this practice is looking, or that this project is looking. So I ran a integrative clinic when I was in Portland. It kind of built from just me to having like 7 practitioners and doing this whole big thing. And over the, my gosh, like almost 9 years that I was there. And it got to a place where I was very, very busy, and it was successful and it was amazing and everything it needed to be. But it got to where my energy was very, very thin. I just didn't have enough to keep feeding the way that this thing had grown and do it in a way that I felt really good about, and like my patients were getting the quality care that they needed. And a big part of that, like we talked about earlier, was due to just not feeling supported by the weather. Just constitutionally, it was more than I could sustain.
Yeah.
But one of the things through that process of having this practice and doing things in that way is I was always looking for Chinese herbal products that I could give to my patients that were really high quality in the sense of very effective, that adhere to the classics, which, like I said earlier, is very important to me because that's how Dr. Ni practiced, and that's just one of my things. And that also were grown sustainably and ethically and organically. So a lot of our medicine, a lot of our herbs that we work with are imported from China. And I don't think it's a big secret that there can be some really shady agricultural practices going on in China. And we have to really filter through that in order to get the good stuff. And it's absolutely out there. It is not impossible to find, but it does take having personal connections with farmers, with importing agencies, with, you know, all of the people that have, you know, their little piece of this crazy system.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the years I've started to develop those, and the more that I develop those connections, the more I learn, like, you know, just buying a conventional Chinese medicine, Chinese herbal product that is just out there is really not the best idea. Mm-hmm. And that became something that just more and more upset me over the years. And I did have a system that I felt really good about in Portland that I was working, I was doing, you know, largely customized formulas for people, by exclusively through this one supplier and friend of mine that, had a really very integrity full practice of, importing his herbs and working with farmers and all of that. But the way that it was something that had to be filtered through me. So I was buying individual ingredients, putting them together, and then giving them out to patients, which is incredible and a really good way to go if you have a practitioner, if you have someone who's running your pharmacy, if you have a full practice. You can't do that time-wise without burning yourself out and just doing all of it. And I have a really high degree of training in Chinese herbal medicine, whereas a lot of Chinese herbalists that are just relying on the education provided in their master's program, they just don't have and don't necessarily have the confidence to implement it because we're just not given that. I mean, I went to a really good school. I really liked it, but I rest so strongly on the information I learned from Dr. Ni that I don't even know that I would be able to practice herbal medicine in a customized way had I not done the additional training with him. I just don't. So, you know, and I have a lot of colleagues and friends that are in that situation that, you know, will kind of talk to me or consult with me about patients or this or that. And I really love to do that for people. People call me all the time and say, hey, what's good for this? I have a friend, so-and-so, she really needs help. I know you can help. And it just, at a certain point, you're like, well, the herbs that I work with, my plant allies, the ones that I know the closest, that I can actually speak with authority to, aren't available to you over the counter. They're just not. I don't know how to help you without taking you on as a patient, and I don't have space for that. My practice is full. And that became a stressor for me because I wanted to help so desperately, and I was like, there's a way. I just know there's a way. And sometimes my patients would even come in and we'd do their treatment. I give them their custom formula. They leave, you know, my office manager puts together their herbs that I've written out for them, and they're like, oh, hey, and by the way, my kid has a cold. Do you have anything for that?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yes. Give me some minutes, you know? but it doesn't have to be that complicated. And I wished that I had a line of products that I could just be like, tell me the symptoms real quick that your kid's got going on. Here is a pre-made bottle that I fully stand behind from farm to bottle. I know what has happened to this. I know it's been tested. I know that it's formulated properly, and I know it will work. There you go. And I want that available to people. There is no reason in the world that that shouldn't be available to people. So anyway, it didn't exist to my standards. And so Kelly and I decided, why not make it ourselves? So that's kind of where we're at. So we are essentially doing that with Estuary Herbs, and we've got two different lines. So he's bringing, I should start with mine. I have a line currently of 13 different formulas that are designed to be kind of, you know, quote, over-the-counter style medicine that are generally safe for anyone. You know, a couple of them have their warnings as far as pregnancy or breastfeeding goes, but they're all labeled as such. But they're generally safe for anyone, and as long as the dosage is adhered to, and they have very specific intentions. So we've got one formula called Digest, and it's really effective for the acid reflux, or just kind of generally upset stomach, that kind of thing, like overactive acid production, maybe ate too much, I don't know, greasy food or whatever, you're just really stressed, have an ulcer, that sort of thing. We have another formula that is called Recharge that is really amazing to just support that vital yang, that energy, like kidney function, really like filling up the well, and just when you're exhausted, when you're tired, like post long-term stress, post illness, when you're just in that recovery phase and just need a little bit of something to to nourish you, to give you that energy back. We have one for headaches. We have one for a couple different formulas for common colds that show up as different symptoms, things like that. Like, instead of running to the drugstore for, you know, some cold and flu medicine, that you can take this and not only support your symptoms and be more comfortable, but also really, like, support your immune system and get through it faster, get to the root of it faster, and leave yourself bolstered against the same thing next time. So that was kind of my goal. And now when people call me and say, hey, what do you have for this? So-and-so is sick. I can be like, here's my website. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Read it. Ask me if you have questions.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. So.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I'm really proud of it. It's been a long time in the coming, but it feels really cool to have finally kind of launched it out into the world. And then on Kelly's side, so he's a classically trained chef. And like you said, he's been working in plant-based medicine or plant-based food for a really long time. And that's always kind of been a passion of his, is functional foods. So having foods that are really delicious and enjoyable to eat, but that also serve a specific purpose in the body. And that was one of the things that we kind of bonded over when we first met. Like, I started talking about my thing. He started talking about foods, and he was like, wait, what? So let me understand this. So talking about like red meat or bone broth, and like talking about the energetic properties of that and how it's very blood building and very nourishing against the yang and like supports heat in the body. And then talking about, you know, fruits and vegetables as more kind of yin in nature and cooling, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. Talking about the other types of, you know, kind of the outliers in the plant world that do have that really hot property to them, things like ginger, horseradish, or, you know, garlics, those kinds of things. Just this like thermal energy aspect of food that was a little bit, he'd heard about it, but had never really looked into it that much. So over the last 5 years, like, he's really, really spent a lot of time geeking out on that and educating himself. And when this came up, we both thought, you know, well, what an amazing thing to be able to offer people that could be delicious. Cause to be honest, nothing I do is delicious. It's functional.
I had one of your tea blends. It really wasn't that delicious. It didn't even And, yeah. You know, I'm happy you put that out there, because it's like, man, I'm going to eat this. I made it in a bone broth. I'm going to consume this, but dang, you could smell it.
Uh-huh.
That's,
yes,
strong, and that's strong.
That's just real.
Yeah, it's the strong. It's the strength, though, the power of the earth.
It totally is. And, you know, well, I'll speak to that later, but there's a whole system of kind of connection between flavor and function in the body that Chinese medicine recognizes. And in the culture that this medicine arose from, flavor itself was looked at as medicinal. It wasn't like, this thing has this flavor, therefore this thing is medicinal. It was like, the bitter flavor is the medicine.
Wow.
So the idea of putting these like artificial sweeteners in our kids' cough syrup so that they take it actually was just like, well, there's no medicine there anymore. Well, what did you just do? And that's part of the shift and kind of cultural bridge that we're talking about, right? Is like recognizing those kinds of thinking and being like, we're gonna educate around that. We're gonna like shift that a little bit to serve us better. Because, you know, we have a very limited diet here. I mean, you guys do an awesome job with like all the rainbow and all of that. That's so important. And that really pulls on Chinese medicine principles a lot. Like, it goes back to colors as well, but color is the same. Like, certain colors are medicinal and to the body in different ways. So just making sure you have a little bit of each flavor, a little bit of each color in your diet every day is a huge founding principle of eating for health and Chinese medicine framework. But yeah, so Kelly has basically come up with these different spice blends that can be incorporated into dishes that people just make every day, you know, have a spice shaker of the circulation spice blend, or there's like a women's health, like a reproductive health spice blend. There's a bunch of different ones that, you know, some of them incorporate medicinal mushrooms that are really supportive of the adrenals and the nervous system. He's got this like power pepper mushroom blend that is just like out of this world, and I am totally obsessed with it. But we're having fun with that.
Yeah, that's exciting. I have yet to figure out, I knew Kelly was doing some food stuff, but I didn't know it was spice blends. And so now that I know that, I'm super excited to carry your product in the shop, but I was planning on doing a spice blend. This is totally left field, but I'm just saying this because we've got to have these spice blends here I might still put together some spice blends myself as well, but we need that. We have to have that. That is so dope. I'm so excited.
I think it's important, and there is infinite room in the world for delicious, helpful spice blends. I am in no way worried about that. I think I'd love to try whatever you come up with too, because I think it's a really brilliant idea. And, you know, the way that he's doing it is he's got a couple other like pantry item type things. Like he's got some like medicinal vinegars that can be used as like spritzers, or that can be taken as, you know, just a little shot to support health. He's got a really awesome, turmeric based one that's balanced out with all the five flavors to support as just kind of a general tonic. There's one for like urinary health and kidney health, that kind of thing. But the idea is that like you don't have to take the medicine when you're sick. You know, you reach for the Chinese herbs when you're sick, when you need kind of you've crossed a threshold and you really need to bring your body back into balance in an aggressive sort of way, or a stronger sort of way, I should say. But the maintenance work can be done enjoyably, like through your everyday experience, mm-hmm. through your cooking, through your relationship with food. And it doesn't have to be abrasive. It doesn't have to be uncomfortable. It doesn't have to be hard. It can just be like, sprinkle this in instead of the pepper you usually use that's been sitting on a shelf for 3 years that doesn't have any life left in it, you know?
Literally, dude. So like when you look at spices as, I relate often spices and plants to like the spice trade of time, and just the intense power of that, to where you can zoom out from top of the earth and you see these spice trails thousands of years old still, right? So like this was really important to the people of that time. And I've talked about that many times on the show, but that's how I think of it. Like these plants are so vital to human history and to human health. Like when you look at it as your spice cabinet and you have pepper up there that's been in your cabinet for 4 years, we really don't get that the plant essence has since dissipated and moved on into has rejoined the larger essence of energy. And
exactly.
Not to say it still doesn't have some, you know, energy left, because plants are amazing and they hold energy for a very long time.
Sure.
But yeah, that's just such a powerful point though.
Yeah, but we can level it up really easily, you know.
Yeah.
It can be fun, it can be playful. He's got a bunch of recipes that he's putting on the website that can be used with different spice blends that he has, or that, you know, you might have at home already. You can be like, oh, I already have this blend that has marjoram and turmeric in it or whatever. I'm going to use that with this recipe, and you know, maybe next time I'll try that when I'm out of this or whatever. But things that can be used now that are kind of classified by their energetic function as well. So he's got, you know, some recipes on there that are really good to nurture the spleen and stomach, which is the earth energy in the Chinese medicine system. He's got some recipes on there that are really great for just blood building and yang, which is fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, different things like that. So you can kind of go shop through and be like, I need something. I want to make the food that I'm putting into my body as functional and serve me as well as possible, but I don't know how to go about that. Then you can kind of just look through and see like, well, what symptoms am I experiencing? Like, what do I really need? Like, this is a thing I can make myself. It's like, he's got this really awesome meatloaf recipe on there. And I know that you guys don't do a lot of meat, but we look at meat as medicine. You know, it's not a daily part of our lives, but it is, especially as someone with a menstrual cycle, it's something that I feel is very important for my body at least a few times a month. Yeah. So that's something that we kind of incorporate into our lives. And just having those, you know, making sure that it's quality, and it's, you know, for everything for us is about quality over quantity. So we're just really, I don't know, figuring out ways to kind of pull that and make it accessible to folks to really start thinking in that way. And there's a ton of education around that. And I'm really excited to just like get some questions and have people start I don't know, trying to incorporate that thinking into their lives and come up with things to ask. Just like, I've never considered this before, but now that I am, like, what do I do in this situation, you know?
Oh, I'm so excited, Haley. I was super excited for the Chinese medicine. Like, just can't even wait to see what you were doing and bring it out. Though that really takes it to the next level for me. And just as your friends and you know, knowing you guys for the last few years and watching both of your passions and both of your businesses and work grow and develop and change, to see you guys come together on this level of team is so, so inspiring and so dope. And the people are so fortunate that you two were intended to walk this path together, because this is a really exciting project. This is so dope. I'm so excited.
Thank you, Lenita. I love that. And I so appreciate that coming from you, because I feel the same way about what you're always all about and just spreading healing and getting the word out there and just being persistent with it. That's something that I'm striving to be better at, and just going for it, just doing it, you know?
Just do it.
Just do it. It's awesome.
Oh man, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I could geek out on this. I like that you use that word, because I don't use that often, but I could literally geek out on this for a while, because that's so, so exciting. To say something about meat too, you know, I've been vegetarian, I've been vegan, I've been raw vegan, I've been paleo, and now I'm just me. And I don't discredit meat, and I don't encourage or not encourage it. I feel like, you know, I'm not a vegetarian, because if I wanted to eat meat, I would. If I was sick, I would be for sure in consuming probably mass amounts of bone broth. And so I'm with you. I feel like you should eat meat. You know, for me right now, what it is it's the quality of meat, right? Like, muscle absorbs toxins, and we know we're living in a highly toxic, you know, chemically toxic, which I don't mean toxic in terms of, will ruin the earth, but these chemical toxins do ruin, you know, can break a body down in a short lifetime.
Totally.
So, you know, I that's kind of my thing with me. I personally just don't like to chew meat, and I'm just not into eating animals' muscles, right? Like, that's just my thing. If something came down in my life, bone broth would be a number one thing. And matter of fact, when I came to visit you, when I came to your office and I had a meeting with you, I have a lot of kidney failure in my family, which actually another relative, young relative, has been diagnosed with kidney failure. So it's, you know, I'm aware and I'm conscious of what's going on in my body. And, when I came to meet with you and you analyzed me and you looked at my eyes, that's what I really remember, is you looking at my eyes. And what was a beautiful thing is that, you didn't know what kidney was removed at that time. You didn't know. And actually, even if you did have some idea of what kidney a doctor would normally take, I actually had the opposite kidney taken, because the kidney that a doctor would normally take, my kidney on that side had too many blood vessels and arteries, and they didn't want to cut those. So they took the opposite kidney. It's the right side. They would normally take the left. And so it was amazing, because I knew that, and I knew you didn't know that. But as you looked into my eyes, you 100% could see the side that I was missing the kidney on. It was just such a special experience, and I really wanted to come back and be like become a normal, a regular patient. It just didn't work out in my life at that time. But,
sure.
But I have also been a regular patient of yours in other ways. But,
totally.
But you totally prescribed, an herbal blend that to make in bone broth. And, and I made it and I drank it and I enjoyed it. I don't fully enjoy bone broth flavor. I shouldn't say that, but so anyways, just to add that in there, because I do talk a lot about aligning with plants and using plants, but it's mostly, you know, using Mother Earth, and that our bodies can process and break down anything that Mother Earth produces, including the toxic chemicals, right? Like, we can do it all. It's just that we don't usually have enough time and nutrition in the body in order to overcome those toxic chemicals and things like cancer. And, you know, things can happen to where, I mean, I don't know. It's just how life works, but.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's why it's so important to just understand the way that it all works together and to try to just find the balance that's right for us at this point in time, because that changes as our lives change, as our bodies change, as time passes. That changes from person to person. It changes from season to season. There is just, there's no golden rule for how to manage health. There just isn't, which is just such a foundational concept in any kind of earth-based healing that, I don't know, I think that conventional medicine just kind of misses the mark on, in my opinion. So that's where, you know, it's up to us to really bring the connection with the seasons, the connection with our environment, the connection with ourself, our intuition, all of that. It's important for us to bring that into the realm of medicine, because it's not always looked at as important. And it is. It's so important. Even if you're doing conventional medicine, even if you are donating a kidney to a loved one, it's like, well, yes, do that. Obviously, you're not going to go to your herbalist to remove your kidney. You're going to go to an awesome surgeon. And then you're going to rely on your herbalist or on your plant knowledge to support the one that you have remaining as best as humanly possible, to make sure that it's able to pull the toxins out of your system, make sure that your liver is up to snuff, so it's doing all the work it needs to be doing to, you know, make up for maybe what some of that one kidney isn't able to do. Just keep those deep pathways open, recognize what's going on. You know, I think that's kind of like what we were talking about earlier, is just bringing it all together in a really harmonious way, because we live in a world that is very scientific in its thinking, and kind of carving out the space and really holding the space for plant medicine, for earth-based medicine within the scientific world is our job. You know, there's no room for conflict. It's not one versus the other. It's, hey, let me support what's happening. And, you know, it's just different for everybody, but I think what you're describing is a really beautiful illustration of that.
Yeah. You had said earlier in a conversation that, that the wall comes up and that people, we'll talk a little bit more about that, because now I'm kind of in thought about everything we're talking about. So I'm trying to recall exactly what you said, but, people's walls, people's defense mechanisms come up when they don't understand, or, when they've received something from a doctor that sound, you know, even just the fact that in the Western world, we just have these doctors that we go to, and like you have a well baby visit. People are taking their children to the doctor when they're totally well. There's just this relationship and association that we have to receiving information in a particular way from the scientific, you know, perspective, which in itself, although science is highly reputable and provable and obvious, you know, like it's obvious that there is a study of what we call science that is real. It's also a lot of theory, and it changes as rapidly as the seasons do. And when we look back in time, we can see that science itself is not a stable course of study. It's something that changes just like the earth does, because it actually is a study of the earth. It is not more powerful than the earth. It is a study of the earth. It is using the earth in the ways that that we choose to use it, you know, and breaking it down in particular ways. So, you know, I'm really comfortable with almost speaking up against science in certain ways, because I feel like it's a part of the conversation that needs to be had. It almost is like the religion of our world right now. So when people hear things that are against what they think are against science, or against what the textbooks say, as if this is just the concrete truth, their walls come up, and then they're not able to receive that which we are actually sharing, which is, again, it's science. It's just different words and a different way to break down or to use the earth and to talk about the earth. It's literally the exact same thing, just different definitions. So maybe you could talk a little bit more about that. Yeah. 'Cause that was just so powerful.
Well, you know, for me, the way that I think of it is that what you're talking about, this kind of science as a religion, this way of thinking, I always sort of refer to that, or at least see it in my head, as science with a capital S. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the pursuit of science. It's a concrete thing that someone has decided to put in a box and label it as, now this thing I just made, that's science, and we have mm-hmm. to refer back to that thing, and it's unchanging, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
And that isn't actually, I mean, science is just the pursuit of understanding the world around us through a technique, through the scientific method, that is all about posing a hypothesis, testing your hypothesis, and changing it if your results don't correspond to what you thought was going on, right?
Mm.
It's within that process, there's a whole, like, admitting when you're wrong, or admitting when you have now new information that inspires a new way of understanding something, and incorporating that into your new worldview. It's about this ever-evolving worldview. And you're right, like, corresponding that to the seasons and nature and self-growth and development and just evolution. I mean, it's by nature supposed to change, supposed to evolve. If we stay stuck in this idea of, well, science said so, it's like, well, okay, science has said a lot of things over the last couple hundred years that we now accept as silly, you know? And I think it's just important to remember what we're talking about and not get stuck in this polarity of, like, well, this thing says this and that person doesn't say this, so it's one or the other. And I think in some ways it's human nature to at least go into that way of thinking, or it seems to be. I don't necessarily understand why, but it does seem to be. And I think our job as people that kind of stand on the outside of the common way of thinking in the medical community, or I don't know how you consider yourself or where you kind of place yourself in that holographic map, but I sit outside of the conventional medical community, and I interact with people in a very medical way as a clinical herbalist and acupuncturist on a very regular basis. And there's a lot of education that goes into that for me, and really understanding where people are coming from when they express their fears about interacting with their body in this new way that I'm describing to them.
Mm.
And so I get to really understand, like, where those hang-ups are, and most of the time they're very emotional. They're not really based in a staunch belief system. They're based in fear of judgment, in fear of having to defend an action to loved ones or to their doctor, things like that, you know? And that's totally understandable. I can hold space for that. Like, I know how to walk somebody through fear. I know how to help you, like, see, I can carve out a container to help you feel brave, to, like, find your courage and do a new thing despite feeling afraid. Like, great, mm-hmm. We can do that all day long. And I think that, you know, it's our job to really find ways to present the information that we know through our studies and through our intuition and through our lineages, our teachers' experience, all of these things, to really find ways to present that to the culture we find ourselves in, regardless of what that culture or subculture might be, that doesn't trigger this immediate, like, defensive wall getting thrown up. There's a way of kind of coming in sideways or coming in very softly and just understanding your audience, understanding who you're speaking to, and finding out, like, where their fear lies, where they're coming from, what their belief system looks like around their body and how to approach it and what it's capable of doing. I mean, some people very, very, very strongly associate their whole identity with their illness. Mm-hmm. And when you're interacting with somebody that is like, well, I'm a XYZ patient. I have this. It's like, yeah, I have this. I can't get rid of this. This is what I am.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're given that at a very young age by their doctor, and that's what they're told. And so they incorporate that into their, like, into their self-identity. And mm-hmm. someone coming and saying, no, no, you have the power to take that back. You have the power to experience the symptoms of that when they come up and not be that.
Ooh, that's
Let's
so
work
deep.
With that.
Haley, that's
right?
So deep. Oh, yes.
So, you know, that's my work. I'm always thinking about ways to approach people who are showing up for themselves by saying, hey, I'm here. I want to do something different. What I've done hasn't gotten me where I want to be. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in front of me talking about this in the first place, right? So finding ways to approach and give them information that they need to be informed to understand where I'm coming from and what I can offer, but without triggering this, like, well, if everything I've ever been told is true, then this must be false. Mm. Well, if my doctor said this, then you're saying something else. You must be crazy, you know, whatever that looks like. Just getting out of that black and white thinking and just getting into that gray space, because that's where all the color's at anyway, you know. Ooh. It's just, that's how I look at it.
Girl, we at church. I got to clap that up a little bit.
Thank you.
So much power. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that we walk this path together. Yeah, it's a rule of thumb in my home that we don't use the word I am sick. You know, I taught my children to not claim sickness. And man, the power of what you just said. I hope people rewind that part of the show and let somebody that you know that is dealing with some type of illness in their body listen to this show. This is empowerment. Life itself is forever healing and revolving and evolving and dying and being reborn. And man, like, oh, it's just so much power. I could just take that into a whole other conversation. I've said this to the last few guests, but I hope that we have to have you back next, you know, 6 months, 7 months from now. You have to come back, talk about the business and how it's grown. We just have to get into more plant talk and take these things deeper, because I could talk to you forever. Like,
awesome. I would love to. This has actually been really, really fun, and it was not nearly as scary as I thought it might be.
Oh,
so thank you for helping me get over that fear of just being vulnerable in front of lots of people. So,
well, sis, I want to like put this in the ethers right now that we can, like, you should really consider doing a podcast or something where you're just really putting your knowledge out there. And being the bridge that you were born to be, you know, it's being American. It's an interesting thing, and being a Black American, but I'm biracial, so I'm kind of in this middle. I literally walk in that middle gray area. I feel it in my heart and in my soul. It's an interesting thing being in this country and being a part of the history of this country, because cultural appropriation is a big thing that, you know, especially Black Americans, but kind of non-white Americans are super aware of. And I'm sure this is global, but, you know, well, it's really not okay to like take the culture of other people. And the thing about it is, I really do get why this hurts people so deeply, especially when we look back in time, and some of the stories of history show great abuse and we'll just say abuse, you know, because of that. And whole continent, you know, trajectory shifted based on a culture coming, you know, and claiming and overtaking. So history is deep and wide and vast, though, right? And so that's a part of what two cultures coming together is. But another part of it is exactly what we're talking about right now. And is even me and my flesh is, there is immense ability to look at the oneness and the whole of humanity, and appreciating the individual bits and pieces and parts that make us the whole, but recognizing that, I mean, we're moving forward and we mix and we intermingle because we're one human family, and we really do need actual bridges that respect each position and each, you know, entity as what it is, and respect the diversity. That's my major message that the plants literally whispered to me some years back, is that interdependence, diversity, and nourishment is the way that any ecosystem functions. And so in order to nourish each other, which is a part of our necessity. I mean, that's what we have to do to be alive, is we have to nourish each other, mostly in our death. We have to be extremely diverse in order to be interdependent and nourish each other. And so I just feel like recognizing and respecting and honoring the diversity is integral, but it's dependent upon interdependence and nourishment.
Right.
And so the diversity has to be used to help each other. It's why we're diverse, you know?
And well, it's where our strength lies, right? We're stronger together. We're stronger the more diversity, the more strength, the more different types of powers and perspectives we can kind of pull into the fold without forcing those perspectives to lose the essence of what makes them unique, mm-hmm. and without trying to make them ours, just respecting the lineage, respecting the lineage holder, respecting where they came from, and trying to educate ourselves about that as much as possible. You know, and I am no authority on this subject, but I really appreciate you speaking to it, because I'm learning, and it's really important to me that that these conversations keep coming up, because I'm learning. I am learning and learning and learning. And you know, I'm a white girl practicing Chinese medicine, right? That's something that's on my mind a lot, and I know where my heart lies, and I know that my teacher gave me this.
Yeah.
But I don't know that everyone sees it that way, and I don't in any way intend to make it mine or take it. It's my goal to continue his legacy and to just help with an open heart and an open mind. And whether that's good enough, I don't know. So, I'm learning, and I appreciate any insight, and I would love to know, you know, where people are coming from, mm-hmm. with those thoughts. So,
well, you're doing a great service. You were called to it, and I think that's what matters here is, you know, and that's not going to say that people who fully, overtook whole cultures weren't called to it too, because I believe everything that's ever happened on this earth is intentional. But just specifically with you, this is your calling, you know, and you're listening to the plants and to the earth guide you the way that you're supposed to be. I just think it's amazing, but, yeah, I don't know. You know, I think that it's mostly fear-based, and it's this fear, and it's rooted in real stories of time, because there have been just such massive, genocides of humans and of culture based on what we're talking about. So it's such a real thing, and genocide is a real thing. Yet. And so it's fear-based, you know, so people, you know, in Black America, I mean, there's this fear that, you know, that history is being and has been rewritten and has been, and certain aspects of history, and certain influences of certain people in history has been written out of history. And it's not that that's not true. There's truth in that. When we look at schools, though, right? Like when we go to school and we look at what the schools are teaching us is true in history and historical fact,
right,
then we recognize, oh, well, this isn't actually true. So anyways,
that's a whole big thing
to go down. But it's fear-based. And in reality, it's not to say that there's not a reason to have fear in this. It's just that we kind of are in times, and we're going forward into times, and the children that are being born on this earth will be moving us forward towards a place where fear is no longer strong enough to keep us from growing, from being stronger together, you know?
Right.
We are overcoming.
To keep us separate.
Yeah, we're overcoming fear. We're overcoming the lower vibrations of humanity slowly but surely, and they will always exist. They're necessary. But we're finding our power. We're tuning into our power, and more humans every day are connecting to their power and recognizing that we can have the best of all of it. And conversations like this, man. Oh, conversations like this are a part of it. Oh, sis, I'm so thankful.
I am so thankful for you. The connections, you know, that's what it's about for me, is the connections that we make and spreading the healing that we can, where we can, to who we can, and just doing it with respect and love is the highest, like, goal in mind. And hearing people when they say, that doesn't feel good to me, like, that's what respect is to me. So, you know, I appreciate being heard. I appreciate just the safe space to be vulnerable and have a conversation. And I appreciate learning from you because you have such a wealth of knowledge to share with us and you get it out there. And that's, I mean, it doesn't really matter what you know if nobody knows what you know.
That is the truth. Yeah. Thank you, love. Relationships. I'm so thankful when I think back really to how we connected and how we met. It's just like the beautiful magic, you know, opening that cart there was a big thing for our family. And it was just a big thing for us individually and as a family. And then so many people in the cart and in the pod, and I connected with everybody. I love everyone there. But Kelly and I were right there next to each other and both doing plant-based and vegan food. And
totally.
And I instantly was just like, Kelly's a special person. But then to be able, and the address there, you know, the address there is 1122, and it actually isn't even the address because it's actually 1121, but they made it be 1122. Richard did that just to signify. Yeah. So it's not even legally 1122.
I did not know that. That's hilarious.
It
awesome.
Is. Which, how magical Richard is though, because he like just magically knew, well, I'm going to make it be 1122, because the people here need this energy.
Uh-huh. And we don't let everybody know why.
Man. Oh, yeah. You know, it's just so, it's so amazing. I got to tell the truth. But then, you know, and so just in my heart, I'm thankful that I met Kelly and that he and I had this like other kind of connection that we kind of bonded on. But for me, you know, being a woman and knowing just how men and women relationships can go and can be, I'm always so excited when I meet a partner, especially a woman partner of a male friend of mine, and she and I hit it off. Like, for me, for some reason, that's one of the most special bonds that I make because, I don't know, there's just something special about connecting to a male friend of mine's partner, female, you know, counterpart. It's a really genuine and honest connection and opportunity for connection. And for you to be one of those women in my life and for us to have met the way that we did, that doesn't mean a lot to everybody, but it just means a lot to me. And,
me too.
Yeah. And it's just super dope. I'm just so excited. And then to watch us be able to naturally bond and connect, you know, it just speaks to so many different levels. And then you guys opened your business on 9/22, like, the vibrations are real, yo. Like, the vibrations are so real. Yesterday, I had such a magical day with numbers and the energy of 22. And it's just like, vibrations are so real. And the reason why that doctor, that man saw in you what he saw in you, because it was vibrations. He was able to read your vibrations. And he was like, yes, this human soul is here to do this work and to be this bridge and to heal. And, I'm so thankful for the ones of us that can read vibrations and listen to them. Give thanks.
Me too. I strive to be that person every day. And, you know, that's the nature of vibrations, right? We just kind of get a little quicker and get up a little higher every time we try. And when it doesn't feel like it's going right, then you just kind of have to step back and say, that's okay. It'll be different when it's different. And I don't know, just work with it. Just stay in touch with yourself. Try to just hang in your body as much as possible. And that honestly is what working on this business with my partner has taught me more than anything. It can be really challenging to be kind of in a little pressure cooker with your family, have a family business that is you guys pouring all of your everything into one pot, like your time, your passion, your love, your money, your everything. And it's tricky. But it's forced Kelly and I to look at parts of ourselves that are getting in the way of the business really becoming what it needs to be, that I don't think we ever would have even known to look at had we not gone about it this way together. And for that, I am so infinitely grateful because I'm becoming a better person because of it. I'm watching him rapidly know more of who he is and become a better person, a more conscious person because of it. Mm-hmm. Our communication is changing. Our vibrations are changing, you know, and it's translating into the medicine that we're making, to the work that we're doing, to the conversations we're having. Like, it is, it's like there's a leveling up happening right now that is because of what we've decided to give, not because of what we're taking. It's changing us and outside, which is just like the coolest thing to me. So,
a leveling up taking place based on what you are giving. Oof. Dang. Diamonds in this show, family. I hope you guys are listening close. I hope you're listening all the way to the end. These are diamonds. Man, that's true currency right there. Man, so excited. We're over an hour now. So there was something we had a couple of things we'll talk about, but you're coming back for sure.
Okay, great. I look forward to it.
Yeah. So it's fall. We are in the South and we're living it up. We have escaped the mighty fall of the North, which is totally beautiful. And I get why folks need to be there and why some people really love these transitions and love the cold, dark, wet. I get it. I'm for y'all. But Haley and I are chilling in the South and it's probably 100 degrees here still. And winter is like 75 degrees. So, but at the same time, the first round of colds have swept through the desert as well. We've had sore throats here and I've been seeing more and more people sniffing and things like that. The sun is shifting. Our energy, the power of the earth, of this part of the earth, is moving to another part of the earth, and we are being affected. And so I was wondering if you had a quick immunity-boosting herbal recipe that you could share with the people. Maybe not a specific recipe, but maybe a meal or just something that you could share with the people that they could adapt quickly into their life that would actually help them during the fall.
Yeah, totally. Well, I'm going to first off say that if you're really struggling and you're just not able to get over the hump of whatever's got you down right now, you might find it really helpful to check out our website and find some products that are really targeted and potent for supporting your body through that. It's Estuary, Estuary, herbs.com. And outside of that, if you're looking for something a little bit more general, from a Chinese medicine perspective, we like to kind of understand what our bodies are doing based on what the seasons are doing. And there's an element associated with each season. And right now we're in the time, well, we're fully in autumn, but like Lenita was saying, right now in the South, we're actually still in that late summer kind of climate. So the late summer is controlled by the element of earth. And what that means is your spleen and your stomach are at the forefront. Most of your body's energy is in your spleen and your stomach, your digestive organs. This is, if you can really support these organ systems right now, it really does a lot to, as we enter into more of the winter months and even further into fall, it does a lot to really just make sure that your body has the energy moving into the next element, which is metal. Metal is the element of fall, and then we move into water as we get into winter. But right now, because we're still really early in fall, I'm considering this, and the way it feels to me, I'm considering this more of a late summer. So foods that are really supportive of the energy right now are like naturally sweet foods, like sweet potatoes, whole grains, like maybe barley or quinoa, brown rice, things like that. Different type, like squash, acorn squash, butternut squash, things like that. Really pulling in that have that naturally sweet flavor and are kind of bland, but and also have that like really beautiful kind of orangish yellowish color scheme. That's all really supportive of what's happening right now. And by aligning ourselves with the plants, we can really make sure that our energy is not dissonant and we're saving as much of it as possible as we move into the next season, which can get the that is important because as we move into the next season, however much energy we cultivated right now is what we're left with when our body has a little bit less support from the environment. So when it's colder, wetter, a little more, you know, a little harder on us, then whatever energy we've kind of cultivated and pulled back into our body is the energy our immune system has to support our respiratory system, our lungs. That's what fall is all about. It's all about the lung health. That's the organ of metal that really is important at that time. So right now, things that we can do to just kind of pull our tendrils out from the world and reinvest our energy in ourselves versus having projects all over the place and just, you know, pouring a lot of energy into the outside world, making sure to just like come back to our breath, come back to whatever cultivation practices we have, whether they're yoga or prayer or Qigong or reading a book, whatever that looks like for you, just making yourself a little bit more space in the world, trying to like allot a little bit more time for the tasks that you have to do so that you're not rushing, so that you're not kind of having that frantic energy right now. Just really trying to mellow it out as best you can will go a long way into prevention as we get more into the colder time of year. So I guess that would be the most relevant thing I could say right now. And then there are also some specific recipes for foods that can support that on the website too. So even if you don't need a, you know, a supplement or anything like that, check out some of the delicious recipes that we have on there that kind of embody those values.
That is awesome. I will definitely be posting the website as well and sharing it on social media multiple times. But that's so awesome because I feel that although we're starting a new venture and I'm getting it out, we're opening right before, like I really studied the stars in the season. I was like, okay, this is kind of like the last day that we can open a business in the fall.
Yeah.
But we're going to make it. But what I'm realizing is I have this, I'm feeling that. I'm feeling like, okay, although you have so many projects going on, you might need to put a pause on some of them. And even if you're not, if you don't have to do that and you can maintain them, you really almost have to go into auto on those projects. And you've been doing them long enough that you kind of can go onto auto. You know what you're sharing. You know, like you have the support team around you really to be able to go on auto almost on those projects and pull in some of your extra energy for this major project that you're doing right now. And it is working. And I'm giving myself more time with plant friends and to just kind of be, versus in the summer I just was like just super buzzing, super clarity, just vibing. So that's really powerful that you broke it down all the way like that, because I'm definitely feeling that energy specifically.
Totally. Well, and you mentioned the summer, like that's fire energy. So that's exactly what fire does. It burns hot, it burns fast, and it burns bright, and it goes.
Yeah.
And we're just, you know, we're pulling that flame back a little bit right now. So that's a really beautiful illustration. I love that.
I do too. I love being able to create your own business too and your own brand that can be seasonal like that, you know, because as I look back on Align with Plants and I look back on even the cart, but just on what we've been doing, it's like, wow, you know, it's been a seasonal thing and I've made these adjustments with each season and I have a lot of mutable energy in me and a lot of water energy, but it's just been this natural flow and give and take and ebb and flow and, man, just so dope. So dope. That was 122.33 when I looked at the recording. We were at 122.33 when that was said. So, I think we'll go ahead and wrap it up now, Haley, and,
sounds good.
And look forward to speaking with you again. But thank you so, so much myself, and on behalf of my audience and sphere and just the entire globe or the entire earth that you are here and that you're listening and that you're doing your work. Family, thank you. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Anita.
Yes. So estuaryherbs.com. You can also find them on Instagram, Estuary Herbs. Are you on Facebook as well as Estuary Herbs?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
I'm going to link it up here. You want to check these recipes out. You want to tune into the blog. I haven't been able to read them yet, but I saw a few really dope blog posts as well already up on the site. Tune in, family. This is where healing is at. amazing soul, amazing work, and you want to be a part of this movement. Align with plants, family. All right, episode 10 next week. I will see you all soon. Like I mentioned last week, the podcast might be one of my projects that takes a little break, or we might move into every other week, but we'll probably get through 12 weeks together and just take it step by step, y'all. I love you guys so much. I love you, Haley. Thank you for being here. And
love you too.
Yes, sis. We will talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Until then.
All right. Conversations with friends, family. Peace. I'll talk to you next week.